On this episode of Up and Coming with Raven Fox and Bare Naked, we discuss the Cracked.com article, Six Artists You Didn't Know Were Perverts, and the performers who read Tarkus Trooper's poem, My Favorite Kind of Misery. Links to all the things we mentioned will be posted, so you can follow along if you like. Please comment and like or upvote this podcast to encourage us to do more of them. This first segment is called Hot Notable News. We're going to have a sexy news-type article that we discuss, hopefully in an entertaining manner. If you find any sexy news or articles that you'd like to hear us talk about, email or message me your bear, and we'll take a look at them. Please include the link in your message. So, Six Artists You Didn't Know Were Perverts. It's a Cracked.com article by Maxwell Yespidlok?
Something like that. If you follow the link, you can look and see how it's spelled.
Right.
It's...
Pronounce it yourself.
Yes.
Okay, so this article actually came out in 2011, but it's just now, I've just now started seeing it in my Twitter feed.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty cool article.
It is cool.
It deserves note.
So, Superman creator Joe Shuster did bondage porn.
And they looked an awful lot like Clark and Lois.
That's a great way to treat the champion of truth, justice, and the American way.
Oh, wait. They screwed him over financially. So, he had to do something for work.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much these made, though. They were like $3... crudely stapled together under the drugstore counter.
Yeah, but you know how well under the drugstore counter stuff sells.
Yeah, but this was like the 1950s?
Yeah, like people have changed all that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sex sells.
Always.
And Stan Lee said the work was startling in that it caters to the basest of man's character.
And if Stan Lee... says something like that. Yes, and all you have to do is look at Stan Lee and, you know, the look he has on his face when he has his arm around some little cosplayer and you know.
Well, it's not just the little cosplayers. He is a huge fan of Ivy Doomkitty.
She's a fan of his, too.
She is.
Yeah, she has curves in all the right places.
Yeah, he likes her a lot.
Yeah.
You can't blame him.
Everybody does.
Everybody likes Ivy Doomkitty.
And if you don't know who Ivy Doomkitty is, look her up. You will now.
And if you don't like Ivy Doomkitty, you're wrong.
Well, everyone is allowed to have an opinion.
They can be wrong if they want to.
Exactly.
Okay. So moving on to, that was number six. The number five artist we didn't know were perverts.
One of my favorites.
Mine too. Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek. He did a sexploitation film in 1971.
And you'll never guess who the main star in a 1971 erotic touching on the erotic film was.
I think this did more than touch the erotic. I think it, you know...
Rock Hudson.
I think it molested the erotic.
Yes, Rock Hudson and, and Angie Dickinson, actually.
Angie Dickinson was a favorite of my dad.
And now we know why. And now you know why.
Oh, God, no. Anyway, the name of the movie was Pretty Maids All in a Row, and it was about a high school coach, played by Rock Hudson, who has sex with teenage girls.
Imagine that.
I know. And then he encourages his little high school protege, I guess somebody on the team, maybe.
We're actually going to have to watch this and see.
I know. We have to. Okay, so...
like she was saying, he encourages his protege to... go after a teacher, played by Angie Dickinson, who just so happens to be of a similar mind.
Another thing about the movie is that Telly Savalas...
Kojak
played a detective in the movie.
So, you know, and that was about 2 years before, so what that means is that the role Kojak was typecasting based off of this movie.
I don't know about that. No. I don't know that this movie was all that popular. I don't think this got a whole lot of
exposure. Doesn't have to be popular for somebody to notice somebody. All it has to do is be watched by that.
The Kojak series was iconic.
Yes, it was. I'm not arguing that.
They did not get their idea for Kojak based on this stupid
TV
movie.
TV detective.
What?
Detective. Oh, and don't forget his backup His partner. Yeah. His partner is a Gene Roddenberry staple icon.
James Doohan. Scotty.
You gotta love Scotty.
If I was in the Star Trek world, I would probably be Scotty.
You would?
Yeah.
Who would I be?
You see, the problem with that is, which series are we talking about?
Well, since you would be Scotty, it would have to be from the original series, and there wasn't a whole lot of female options. I'd have to be Uhura.
No, you wouldn't.
No?
You got to remember, just like Roddenberry, the main character, the main actor, Kirk, slept with a different alien each week.
I'd be one of the sexy aliens.
You would be Kirk.
I would be Kirk! I love it. Awesome, yes.
You'd be Kirk.
Kirk with Uhura's legs.
Mm-hmm. The only difference in that case is that you're... Dick would be attached instead of over here in the drawer. Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Thank you for not just making me Uhura by default.
Uhura deserves lots of credit now.
She does.
She's one of my favorite people, all-time people. I mean, she was gorgeous way into her 60s even, mm-hmm. Yeah. And still was absolutely gorgeous and a very nice person. I have a lot of friends who've gone to a lot of cons and have met her and a few other people. And she is always polite, always interested in her fans.
Yeah.
And even after she's no longer gorgeous, she's still a very attractive woman.
She seems like she has very kind eyes, you know?
She had eyes?
Yeah, she...
And coming from me, that's rare because I love eyes.
Oh my gosh.
She had thighs. I know that.
She had thighs. Yes, and then those mini skirts.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So Gene Roddenberry's perviness didn't stop with just his 71 film. It went into the Star Trek universe as well.
Nichelle Nichols.
Yeah.
Nichelle Nichols.
Yeah, all you had to do was ask.
I was trying to look it up and going, I know
her name. You see, while I was talking... I didn't know what she was trying to find, but she was sitting over there desperately doing some sort of a search on the computer. All she had to do was ask. She is one of my favorites, after all.
Yes, Nichelle Nichols. Okay.
I think we were in the middle of Gene Roddenberry.
You know, this is taking quite a while. We're going to end up... There's actually a second article. This is the six artists that you didn't know were perverts, and then the next article is... It was a follow-up. Seven mm-hmm. artists you didn't know were perverts.
Yeah, there's interesting... Well, anyway, we'll...
Yeah, we're going to have to do this... We're going to have to do the second article in the next episode.
No, we need to do like we did last time and make more than one part.
No!
Hey, don't moo at me. Mooing is not sexy. Unless maybe you're Scottish.
Now, that awful stereotype... did not involve cows.
True. Very true, but it does bring up some of my favorite guilty jokes.
Don't do it.
So, why do Scots wear kilts?
Don't do it. Why do Scots wear kilts?
Because the sheep are afraid of the sound of a zipper.
Oh, harsh.
Yes. And then again, that brings up the next one. And that's, what is a Scot's worst nightmare?
You're going to hell for this. What is a Scot's worst nightmare?
Going out into the sheep pen and hearing, Daddy!
Oh my God.
See, she just did it right there.
That's bad. I like Scots.
Yeah, so do I.
Don't disparage Scots. They have great accents.
Oh, it's beautiful accents. That's one thing that you and I have in common. We both love accents.
Yes, accents are hot.
Yes, very. Well, accents and ass, yeah.
Yes, we have that in common.
Of course, then again, that's probably why you don't want me to ever go to Brazil. I'd get in too much trouble.
Yeah, I couldn't go to Brazil either. I love Latino women.
Yeah, we'd both end up being one of those tourists that was kidnapped in an alleyway.
Or Australia. I could never go to Australia. I'd just fuck my way across the country.
If you went to Australia, you'd probably never stand up. The whole time you were there, you just would not stand up. If you were lucky, you'd get up on your knees at best.
No. If they were lucky... I'd get on my knees.
That is true. Okay. I'll give you that. I'll give you that one.
Australia. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah, we'd both get into lots of trouble.
And Ireland.
Accents. Of course, in Ireland.
You have the red hair, freckles.
Redheads, freckles, and the accent.
And the accent.
It's just, you know, I wouldn't even get out of the airport before I was in trouble.
Yeah. Probably not.
Probably not.
They hit all your weaknesses.
All but one. But I'm willing, you know, with just one missing, I'm quite willing to make exceptions.
But it's been said that it's just because we're Americans. That we're obsessed with any non-American accent.
Well, we are pretty much on a continent unto ourselves with a neighbor to the north that's very similar in accent. It is different, but...
A little bit different.
Yeah.
And South America's...
To the south of us, it's something that we're very attracted to as well.
But I like some of the American accents.
Well, yes. And so do I. And like that comedian who said that he took his southern accent out in the back street of Chicago and shot it.
Sparks.
Yeah. He said that he took his accent out and shot it in a alleyway in Chicago because it kept getting him, it stopped him from getting laid. He also said that southern accents on women are awesome. And they are. They really are.
Would you like a piece of pie?
Oh, I would love a piece of pie.
Those are some awfully tight Wranglers you're wearing.
Oh, yeah. I think we're probably always going to mention a stand-up comic at one point in time or another. Hal Sparks, what was it called?
Charmageddon.
Charmageddon is awesome. Highly recommend it. Several of you probably know Hal Sparks because of an acting role he did.
Queer as Folk.
He was the comic book store owner.
The son of he was the son.
He was the son.
With the mom that was an activist for gay rights and everything.
Anyway,
it was really cool. He's been in some other stuff, but I don't remember him from anything else.
Comedy.
Hal Sparks. And look up Charmageddon. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube and you will piss your pants laughing. It's really funny.
Oh, it's good. He's good.
And we, as the inappropriate parents that we are, have shared it with our children, and our 10-year-old can quote it.
Well, when we shared it with our 10-year-old, it was the first time we had watched it as well, and we didn't know.
Are you saying we wouldn't have shared it with him?
Not for another year or two.
Oh, yes, we would have.
A couple years.
Yes, anyway. We would have.
Maybe so. Maybe so. We've gotten a lot of mileage out of acting shocked and appalled when he quotes it, so, you know. Secretly, it's that,
You're so proud.
I am.
You're raising little perverts. Okay.
No, he's not a pervert. He's liking all of the normal things. That's not perverted. That's normal.
I know, but he's 10. But, you know, he's liked boobs since he was born.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd walk up to any large-breasted woman going, ha, ha, ha,
He'd go to anyone with big tits.
Yeah.
He was never afraid of us. He never met a stranger with big tits. He knew them all.
He knew them all. Or at least he wanted to.
He started as... I think he's going to be a boob man.
Oh, he already is.
Yeah. I think he's going to... But when he's not a man, what does that make him, a boob boy? Let's stop talking about
anybody who's had a steady girlfriend for over 2 years...
I know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she broke up with him not long ago. But anyway, that's part of our life that we don't really need to talk about.
Yeah, anyway. Yet. Okay, moving on. We need to get back to the article.
Yes.
Okay, this is going to take
a while. We're going to have to do this one in two parts.
No, we are not doing it in two parts.
At least you didn't moo.
I didn't moo.
Okay.
I don't moo. That was not a moo. I'm going to go back and look and listen, and I did not moo.
Okay.
I said no. That's not a moo.
Yes, you said no.
Shut up. Okay, number four. Moving on, number four. The Archie comic artist, Dan DiCarlo, apparently did hundreds of drawings of barely clothed, speaking of boobs, big-breasted.
Now we know what Betty and Veronica would look like had they been naked.
And more grown. Did they have big boobs in the Archie comics?
Not as big as some of the pictures that I've seen in there, but they were not...
They matured.
Unevolved.
So anyway, Dan DiCarlo, who also created Josie and the Pussycats, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, he drew these pinups for Humorama, which was a men's magazine, and not many of them were all the way nude.
No, most of them were scantily clad.
Scantily clad.
And most of the nude ones were topless more than nude, but still.
Well, I think there was some ass in there.
Yeah, some of them.
TNA.
Yeah.
No full frontal nudity. The good stuff. Well, I don't know. I like frontal. Full frontal nudity.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, for me, that would be tits.
Well, I like tits.
I know you do. I have been witness to... Well, never mind.
I like tits. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but he drew them, you know, he was into the big breasted ones. Mm-hmm. I like the new artists that we know are perverts that are drawing women, really curvy women. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is Frank Cho.
Well, yeah, I'm jealous of that bastard.
Yeah, Frank Cho drew Liberty Meadows. I may still draw Liberty Meadows. I think he does still draw Liberty Meadows. Yeah. He did.
I am so jealous.
He did a picture of Ivy.
Yes.
Ivy Doom Kitty, which, thanks to one of my amazing fans, I own a signed copy of Frank Cho's dead ass. And it shows Ivy from one of her best sides.
Well, actually, that's not her best side. Her best side was the series
kind of laying in my own skin.
Yeah, in my own skin, laying on the ground, kind of with her chin propped up on her elbows. Beautiful eyes too.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. There are no bad angles with Ivy.
No,
her husband is an awesome artist, mm-hmm. Dave Turner, mm-hmm. and he draws. He has like. He'll put out Thickness Thursdays, where he'll put out a new drawing of, you know, and a lot of times it is Ivy.
Or based heavily off of Ivy, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she is the quintessential thick.
She is, for those of you that don't know who Ivy is, look her up.
You're going to hear us talk about Ivy.
Yes, Ivy is on both of our bucket lists, even though we know it'll probably never happen. Still,
we might get to meet her.
Oh, I guarantee you we're going to meet her eventually.
She and I have emailed.
Oh, I know. You two have had conversations and all sorts
no,
of
no,
stuff.
No. I don't know her that well.
Well, no, but you did. But you did have that conversation over, well, basically pictures. That she was talking about got lost. So she ended up talking to Ivy about...
sending it to my home address. It didn't get lost. It got sent back. They never notified me that it was in my P.O. box. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be sent to a P.O. box for some reason. So I had to tell Ivy my real name and my real street address.
Yeah, not many people get that.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So where were we? Oh, yeah. The Archie dude, Dan DiCarlo, did these pinups for Humorama, and they often included... funny captions, but I don't think that the pictures were intended to be funny.
No, the pictures were designed to get a rise out of people.
A different kind of rise.
Yes, exactly.
And the funny thing is Stan Lee wrote a lot of the captions. This was pre-Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. What surprised me more is that he was funny.
I know. I mean, I think he was funny back in the day, but some of his more recent stuff, it looked like he was trying to be funny or maybe trying to be profound.
I think he was trying more to be profound than changing it up a little bit. It's still some funny. Yeah. It's still there.
I don't know. Well, you have to forgive him, you know.
He has a great body of work.
Yeah. He's an icon. That's Big Daddy Lee.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I love Stan Lee.
And I'm sure he would love you, too. Mm. Anyway.
Excelsior. Okay, number three was another Superman artist. Kurt Swan.
Yeah, he was the person that replaced the original. And he did it for, what, about 3 decades?
A long time. He's the one that sort of created the whole idea of Superman being this ultra, you know... Dun, 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 dun. He's truth, justice, I don't think he did truth. Maybe he did do truth, justice.
I'm not sure where that started. I think that was actually part of the original.
But Superman is like a paladin.
Yes.
He never does anything wrong. He's so fucking perfect.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't you? Uh-huh. See that? Okay. So anyway, he created this idea that Superman was this, as they said in the article, the big blue Boy Scout image. And then DC screwed him over. Stop giving him work, because the art direction changed.
There seems to be a theme here.
Yeah, yeah. And he became an alcoholic. His wife left him. It was horrible. And so when Penthouse got in touch with him and said, hey, we've got this article about Superman. We want you to illustrate it.
Yeah, he didn't care anymore. He just went with it.
He's like, fuck it. It's work. It's money. Mm-hmm. Buy some more booze.
There's nothing wrong with a little booze.
Yeah. The article was by Larry Niven, who is a freak. Says so right in the article that we're reviewing. And from what I can tell, he's pretty freaky. The name of the article was Man of Steel, Women of Kleenex. Isn't that sexy?
No.
Not at all. No. It's all about the reasons that Supes and Lois can never have sex.
Yeah.
Like, he'd gutter like a trout and it'd be, you know.
Yeah. No. The thing about Superman is he can control.
Yes.
That power.
Yes, because he doesn't crush someone's hand when he shakes their hand.
No.
He doesn't break, snap Lois in half when he's carrying her, you know, doing the sweetheart carry thing. Mm-hmm. But according to Larry Niven, he's deadly in bed. And I call bullshit. I don't think that's the case.
There's only one of them that had any possibility of being part of the genre. And that was the whole thing about what happens when he comes. But even that.
But he's Superman. He can't control that. Fucking pull out, man. If I don't pull out, I'm going to kill this woman. I think I'll pull out.
Yeah.
You know, shoot a hole in the wall or whatever. I don't know. I mean, don't most guys control everything except the strength of their orgasm? Do you control how hard you're thrusting into a woman? You know how.
Control how hard you're thrusting? Yes. But what controls how hard you ejaculate? Well, for me, that's frequency and how long it's been. But, you know, for other guys, I'm sure there are other reasons.
Probably. But, yeah. I think he can control it. And if the only thing that he couldn't control was the strength of his orgasm, like I said, pull out, shoot a hole in the wall.
Or the ceiling, or the floor. Depending on which position you're
in. The universe! No, I don't know. But, yeah. I think Superman would be an awesome lover. Because he's very compassionate and giving. I think Lois would suck in bed. Not even literally.
Well, I think she would probably start the sucking before they got to the bed.
I don't think so. She doesn't look...
Yeah, you're right. She is a little
selfish. Yeah. She is.
Yeah.
She's all this independent... She's an independent feminist.
But she does worship Superman, so... Maybe,
but how do you... She never figured out that Clark Kent was Superman. How much could you worship someone when putting on a pair of glasses and different clothes means that you can't recognize them?
It was part of the... what made him super.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway.
I stand by my statement. Lois would be a terrible lay.
Maybe so.
I think so. Okay.
Maybe so.
So we're going to have to read that article.
We
are. You know, Man of Steel, Women of Kleenex.
We have to find it, yeah.
I think we'd have to try to find it. If you find it, send it to us. We want to read it. Okay, so, moving on. Now, number two, Gore Vidal. He wrote a bunch of novels and screenplays that I'd never heard of.
Yeah, I'm not all that familiar with him either.
But the reason that he was mentioned in this article that we're reviewing is because he was responsible for Caligula. Everyone's heard of Caligula.
Yeah, everybody.
Not the Roman Emperor Caligula, who was apparently a real freak, which is cool.
Well, if you had all that money and that power, you'd be a freak. Well,
he doesn't take money and power.
That's true.
I'm not a freak. I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It was 1979.
But you're bad, too.
I'm good.
Yeah, so she says when she's... now, but I guarantee you later she'll be telling me how bad she is.
Oh, well. Yeah. No, not bad. Naughty. But a naughty girl. Okay, moving on.
Anyway. Woo-hoo.
This is not the purpose of this. We're going to end up having to pause the recording.
Let's see, okay. Where are those dice that we were using?
Shut up! No, dice. No dice. Okay, anyway, so this was 1979 Caligula. It was scandalous. And the it was financed by this... I don't remember his name. I can't pronounce his name anyway. Penthouse guy. He said, I'll only finance this
if you add more sex.
Lots of sex. So Gore Vidal said, okay, I'll do that.
Orgy scenes.
Yeah. He found this Italian director that was well known for erotica.
Okay? Yeah, who went behind everybody's back and turned it into an actual
Yeah, it wasn't
porn.
Enough. He took it from, you know, erotica to porn with hardcore sex scenes. And when that happened, Gore Vidal ended up disowning the film. But the thing is, it only added about 6 minutes.
Yeah, and the rest of it was still along that line anyway.
Yeah,
so
it was...
I think it was more the principle of the thing than the actual scenes.
Okay. But apparently it crossed a line.
Yeah.
All right, I'm moving on. I'm too unfamiliar with Gore Vidal to actually say much about him.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to see Caligula now. I've heard of Caligula. I've never seen it, though.
Well, it's from 1979. You weren't exactly at the...
We're not going to say how old I was. Just shh. Okay. I'm not going to say how old. I was a child. Okay.
A young child.
A very young child. Okay. The number one in this article is Enix's fucked up hentai games.
Well, Enix was actually the first part of a very well-known production company. They got together with
Square
and became Square Enix, which did all sorts of stuff like Lilo and Stitch. Was it Lilo and Stitch? Yeah, it was Lilo and Stitch.
Did they?
And Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Tomb Raider. You know, they're pretty well known.
Okay. But before they got into that, before they merged with Square.
Yeah. Before they did that, they. No, they didn't do it. They published it. They opened it up the world. They opened up to the world, saying, "Hey, send us your stuff, and if we like it, we'll publish it."
Okay.
And they did some stuff that I couldn't get behind either. No. But you know.
So this game that they're talking about in the article is basically winning makes your clothes fall off.
Well, that in itself is okay.
Yeah.
But it's the other part that.
The worst one was the Lolita syndrome.
Yeah.
That was
wrong.
Apparently very, very young girls in various states of undress, and you take their clothes off in like these variety of sadistic ways.
We don't
ways.
Need to talk
yeah,
about that.
It's just,
okay. Yeah, no.
I don't know why they classified Gore Vidal and Enix as the top two artists that we didn't know were perverts, because for me it's like the top two artists I didn't really know about at all.
Yeah, that's true.
That was weird.
Well, we know Gore Vidal. We've heard the name.
I've heard the name, but I didn't know. I didn't even know his connection to Caligula.
Well, you do now.
I do now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make me want to read any of his books. For me, the most shocking one on this list was Gene Roddenberry.
I can't say I was shocked.
Really?
No. Think about it. All the miniskirts, the first interracial kiss. He had all sorts of things
sexually
along.
Adventurous.
Yeah, he had a lot of forward moving stuff.
Yeah, but I was shocked. You weren't shocked, but I was shocked because he put out this sexploitation film, and I guess I could. I kind of want to watch the film, but I kind of don't.
Yeah, it's a topic that we're not very fond of, but still.
Yeah, it can. I don't know. It can be hot. And I have to. You know, I have to not think if we watch the film. I have to not think about it being from the same man that brought us Tribbles. Because this was the
70s. I see where you're going with that.
Some of those girls probably looked like Tribbles.
Oh, that's horrible. Accurate, but horrible.
You know it's true.
Oh.
You've watched 70s porn. We all have.
Yeah, I watched it only because I had heard how horrible it was and I couldn't believe it, so I did see it, and then I found out that they were right.
It's really that bad.
It really is.
It's a tribble. It's a tribble. Oh. So, yeah. Okay, go.
You've ruined me.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Okay. This next segment is called Up and Comers, and will usually feature new Gone Wild audio performers that caught our ear and piqued our interest. This time we're focusing on the artist who performed My Favorite Kind of Misery, a beautiful poem by Tarkus Trooper. Because we want to mention everyone that we could find who performed the poem, we're going to be mentioning a couple of GWA veterans. In the future, we might also discuss hot new audios from veterans and newbies alike, but we'll have to see how that goes. I expect this podcast will sort of evolve as we go. If you have an idea about how we can make this better, send us a PM or an email. So My Favorite Kind of Misery.
Well, I think we should probably start with the person who wrote it.
Right. Tarkus Trooper wrote it. And it's about a toxic relationship.
Yes, it is.
He or she is so bad for me, but I love him or her.
And it says it really well, puts it really well.
Yeah, it does. It's beautiful and so eloquent, poignant. Mm-hmm. The first person to record it, not surprisingly, was Tark herself. And she's always good. I like her stuff. Her voice I like her voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she has a very nice voice.
Mm-hmm. And she performs this piece just spot on, perfectly.
But that's because she wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's more to it than just
right. The she's fact really
that
good.
She wrote it. She really is good. But
for this piece,
yes, for this piece, you know, she wrote it. She knew exactly where she intended everything to be. Yeah. So, and it does come across.
It does. She's very talented. Now, for her version of it, it sort of sounds like to me that she's on the phone with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she's kind of waxing poetic, but she's basically telling.
Yeah, she's bitching.
Why? The girlfriend on the other side is like, girl, he ain't good enough for you. You better leave his ass.
I have heard, well, except for the his part, I have heard this before. Actually, I heard this from you.
Well, she was not good for you.
No, she wasn't good for anybody.
She wasn't good for, she was batshit crazy.
True. True.
And not in an attractive way.
Yeah, you had to add that part because, you know, there are lots of things I find interesting and dangerously psychotic women are interesting.
You're thinking more along the lines of murderous, like Bellatrix Lestrange, that kind of thing.
Yes, I, you know, of all the Harry Potter characters, I have to say, if I were to voluntarily end up in bed with one of them, it would be Bellatrix.
Helen Bonham Carter is just, you know, and she did a good Bellatrix.
Yeah, and the barber, she was awesome in the Barber of...
Oh, the Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I love her.
I think that was the first thing I actually saw her in, recognized her in.
After as, Harry Potter,
you as mean? Being that kind of person that was just...
Yeah, she's freaky.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, in a sexy way, though.
Very.
The girl you're talking about that I told you, barely get rid of her. There's something wrong with her.
Yeah, she was a different kind of crazy.
That was a different kind of cray-cray. Okay, anyway, the poem. We're focusing on the poem. So Tarkus did it first and did a great job.
Yeah.
Then, I don't know, think this is the order that they did it in. It's just kind of the order we found them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that rude Canadian, who is, I think he's relatively new.
Yeah.
I think he's new. I haven't heard any, much of his stuff.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, you're going to.
His version was good. I liked it because it had some of that oomph.
Yeah. Some grit.
No, it was like dirty.
Yeah, grit.
He sounded like a man's man kind of guy. He wasn't used to feeling this way about this woman, about a woman. But he just couldn't help himself.
Yeah, the grit.
That's not grit.
It is.
It's not grit. That's no. I'm digging his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He she
likes gritty.
I do like gritty, but that's not this. I don't know.
Okay. Well, okay, guys, listen to it, girls. Listen to it. And make up your own mind.
Yeah.
Grit or not grit.
I haven't been able to... I haven't heard... I've been so busy.
Yeah.
Since he verified. But I haven't gotten to listen to much of his stuff. I did take a quick glance at his... What he submitted. And it's apparently he likes questionnaires and vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla.
I like questionnaires and vanilla.
Among many other flavors.
I do. Maybe it's fate. Call me that rude Canadian. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I mean, he could.
No, she's not.
Okay. Another one that did it was Just Like Honey.
Yeah, and Bears Like Honey.
This honey was nice.
Yes, it was.
So that's Just with no T. Just Like Honey. She verified about 2 weeks ago, and she's got that husky.
See?
That's not grit. You true, cannot listen not, to that woman is, and call it gritty.
No, that was not grit. No, that was not grit. That was a very sexually stimulating voice.
It's husky.
It was husky, yes. It's,
you know, yeah.
We can agree on that.
We can agree on that. I like her take on the poem. To me, it sounds like she's doing a diary entry.
Yeah, kind of like the voice you'd hear in her head when she was writing in her journal.
Yeah, because it's really soft-spoken and smooth. And
kind of like she's thinking it out as she goes.
Yeah, yeah. Like she's you can hear her voice in her head while she's writing this journal entry. So she did a good job.
Yeah, and like I said, Bears Like Honey.
Oh, yeah. And then there's Captain Jigglepants. I love his name.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Captain Jigglepants.
that is.
And he's really new. He just verified about a week ago.
Oh, okay.
It was nice. He was very growly.
Gritty.
growling. He was.
Yeah, that's all you really have to do to get her attention. You know, the deeper the better, with a little bit of groan to it, and you have her attention.
Wow.
Exactly.
I listened to a couple of his other posts, and he's very expressive during those special moments.
Okay.
I'm kind of disappointed that he didn't come in this one.
Well, yeah, didn't really lend itself to an orgasm.
No.
At least not directly, as we found out from the next person.
Yeah. But, you know, he could have made an exception.
You just wanted him to make an exception.
I did.
So, Captain Jigglepants, you now have a mission.
Oh my gosh. Should you choose to accept it?
Should you choose to accept it, exactly.
This message will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3,
no,
2.
No, it won't.
Okay, this message will
be
orgasm.
Be posted in.
That kind of explosion.
Ah. And so now she's giving you an idea of what she's looking for.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you didn't like countdown stuff as much as a lot of the other stuff.
I like countdown stuff. I just like other stuff a little bit better.
Yeah.
I find the other.
I can see
the
that.
Edging ones. Oh, I love the edging.
No, that's not me.
But I don't know. For me, it seems like it's a little too easy for people to get from 100 to 1.
Yeah. If I were even to try doing something like that, well, first of all, I'd probably have to have a little help.
Yeah, because numbers aren't sexy.
Numbers aren't sexy. I would be like 199, 98.
Yawn.
Wait, oh shit. Where was I?
To keep up with the numbers.
15, 14, you know, that's the way it would go. I don't know how I get from 97 to 14, but hey.
It works.
There you go.
Okay, so the other guy, this is another veteran mm-hmm. that did, GWA veteran that did this. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Entree Chat?
I would say you're probably right.
Yeah. He's been around for a while. And this was the most unique take on the poem.
Yes. He decided to do it while masturbating.
Yes.
And like I said, it didn't really lend itself to that, but for him, it worked.
He made it work.
He made it work.
He said he gave a horrible performance so that he could have a really great orgasm, but I think he did badly.
Well, yeah. You are of the mind that the orgasm is kind of important.
It is important.
Of course, you also like the sounding and build up to
it. Yeah, and he has an accent. And he has a nice voice. I thought it was good. I'd listen again.
Oh, I know you would.
And again.
You would.
And again.
You would.
Just me? I don't know. Actually, I don't know if he conveyed the same kind of emotion as the other performers of this poem did.
No.
But those shaky breaths that... That was cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
I like those. That's an emotion.
No.
Horniness.
No. Horniness is a state.
It's an emotion.
It's a condition,
an emotion. I'm a very emotional girl.
You are at times. But that has nothing to do with whether or not you're horny.
I like that emotion.
It's not an emotion.
It is an emotion.
Look at it this way. Angry sex. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Romantic sex. Even romantic isn't truly an emotion, but it elicits a great deal of emotion. But angry sex?
I like angry sex.
Exactly. Angry is the emotion.
Anger is the emotion. Oh.
Anger is the emotion.
I disagree.
Well, we often do.
If you agree with me that anger... and not anger. If you agree
anger
with me...
Anger is an emotion.
Anger is an emotion. If you agree with me that horniness is an emotion...
It's not an emotion. It's a state of
being. Say so in the comments.
It's a state of being.
Settle this argument for us.
Of course, for me, it's a constant... Oh, never mind. State of being. But, hey, that's neither here nor there.
That's why we're so uniquely suited.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Back to this. Okay. Suplex Lemon.
How about back to this?
No. Hey. All right. Suplex Lemon. He's sort of new. He's not real new, but he's sort of... Pay attention. Suplex Lemon. He's kind of new, but he's not really new.
Okay.
A couple months. He's been on GWA.
Well, that's still new.
Yeah.
He sounds like a celebrity that I just can't place. I can picture him in my mind, but it's just, you know, the face and the voice that he said that sounds so much like this guy, and I can't see any of the background to identify the movie so that I can look him up and find out who he is.
But, what does he look like?
Dark, curly hair, not quite really nerdy, but kind of. I can't remember his name.
Well, Suplex Lemon is he funny? Is
oh, yeah.
The actor funny?
Okay. Oh, yes.
Suplex Lemon is funny. He's a really funny guy.
Okay.
He's done some really cute stuff, but he's also done some sexy stuff, and he turns on the raw for this poem. He's very raw in this.
Yeah.
You know, I already liked his voice, but he just sounds so wounded and hurt, and oh. And then he does the shaky breath.
Yeah, and as you can tell, you heard that little, there was a look that went with that. You know, her eyes kind of did this little shake as they were kind of rolling back, because she was, you know.
I like the shaky breath.
Yes, you do.
I got my motor running.
Yes.
And he's got a great voice, and he did a really good job here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He turned off the funny and just made it sound, he put so much emotion into it. He did good. Okay, and then we have Falkenstein GWA. And I listened to his, and my first thought, I'd fuck him.
Yeah, and I know where you stole that from. we have some friends, my old gaming buddies that I introduced her to. That's how she got started gaming, actually. They considered the highest compliment.
That's role-playing games, tabletop role-playing games, not...
Yeah.
Video gaming. I'm not a big video gamer.
No. You went through that, what was it, week and a half of doing absolutely nothing but Skyrim, so you can't say that.
But you don't know, before you came along, I did, like, a month of nothing but Mario Brothers.
So there you go, you are a video gamer.
No, I recognize the fact that I can get easily addicted to video games, so I don't play them very often.
Yeah, okay, that...
After my stint where I was lost in Mario Brothers, my next thing was the Skyrim, and it was a lot longer than a week and a half, and I had to give it up.
Yeah, you weren't getting any recording done at all.
I wasn't getting anything done.
I missed out on a lot of fun during that time.
Yeah.
I was jealous.
It's just so addictive.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, moving on. Falkenstein GWA, I'd fuck him. He has accent, the gravelly voice, that's gravel. That's grit.
Okay, I'm not going to argue.
I know grit. I know voices. That was grit.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue. And you were laughing. That was the one you were laughing at me while I was listening.
Oh my God. She could barely contain herself.
It was the way you said body. Mm-hmm. Your body. Jesus. Body. Say it again.
Mufasa. Oh wait, that's... Sorry.
It was just the way you said that. Oh...
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like, I want you to fuck me like you'd hate me. That was one of the lines of the poem. I'd fuck him like I hated him.
You love hate fucking.
I do. I love hate fucking. Ever since Bourbon Neat did that hate fucking.
No, you liked it long before then.
Okay, I liked it in audio.
Oh, after okay. I heard Bourbon Neat. You're just talking audio. Okay.
Yeah, Bourbon Neat did this audio about hate fucking. I use that a lot. Anyway.
I can see that.
Okay, back to Falkenstein. Focus. Okay.
And she doesn't let me in the room much when she's recording because I have this tendency to make comments that she
and
doesn't
join
want.
In.
Hey, you know, what
that's,
can I say?
But that's not what they want.
Oh, I'm sure some of them would pay for it.
I'm sure. But now I'm talking about
and the reason we don't do
paid
that,
clients.
Yeah, the reason we don't do that very often is, well, we don't really do that part at all because... I don't make a whole lot of noise. I tend to hold my breath and I tend to concentrate and I'm very quiet. And that doesn't work well on an audio.
No. Anyway, Falkenstein GWA. I guess he did a good job on the poem. I think he did.
She was too distracted to tell. she was listening to the voice, not the words.
Mm-hmm, yes, I was.
She forgot what she was doing.
He sounds just kind of a little bit evil and a little bit insane, like the way this woman's treated him has just really driven him insane.
Mm-hmm. And, because she's
just that bad for him, and he loves her just that much.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear more from Falkenstein GWA.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. Her name, Raven Fox. Have you ever seen... a raven when it was looking at something it was about to eat.
Something shiny.
And
no,
it
something
shiny. This intense stare. She just looked at me, and I swear I could see the feathers and the beak and all of that. It was there.
Mm. Yes. Ravens are not typically sexy. I make ravens sexy.
You do.
Okay. All right. And finally, but certainly not least.
Yeah, I think she was actually probably our favorite.
Yeah. And not because everybody, and nobody did a bad job.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
did a fine job.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
Well, no, we're going to save the bad job until I decide to go ahead and do this.
Don't do it. No. Don't do it.
Nah.
I love you, baby, but you can't act.
Yeah, I know. You can say that in the comments.
Okay. I will, too. And that'll be me. Okay, so what we're talking... The person we're talking about...
I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
Focus!
Oh, yeah.
Aria Montgomery.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of people probably glossed over it without probably looking at it.
I don't know if a lot of people... Well, some people may have.
Yeah.
Because she's a trans female.
Yeah.
Trans girl.
But for those of you that did gloss over it, I highly recommend for whatever reason that it was glossed over, that you go back and listen to it because it's absolutely awesome. You can feel her heart break in the middle of this. It was
great.
It's not just, it's poetry. And she gets the poetry across. Because, when you're speaking, when you're doing prose, your sentence structure is where you stop and end. But with poetry, there's breaks in there that show emotion. There's mm-hmm. meter.
Yeah.
And she has that.
Yeah.
Well, it's SK594. Commented about that, the tone and pacing.
Yeah, that's Jack.
Oh, yeah.
That's my friend Jack.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, I like him. Jack.
Yeah, he's...
He's new, too. Hi, Jack. Hi, Jack.
I think it just got hijacked.
He said the same, and I said the same thing mm-hmm. about that excellent expression of emotion, and the tone and pacing mm-hmm. were just great.
Yeah.
He's right, and I was right. She's awesome. So, she really created an emotional connection with the listener. And I have to think that she either has experienced that kind of soul-crushing relationship, in her past. Or, and that's what she drew from, or she is a fan-fucking-tastic actor. I'd love to know the answer to that. That might be too personal.
Yeah, it might be.
So, I saw a picture of her. I post-stalked her.
Yeah, she totally post-stalked her. It was...
She's hot.
Well...
I had to say.
Yeah.
She's got a good voice, good delivery,
mm-hmm.
and good legs.
Yeah, I liked the stockings.
The stockings,
The stockings were interesting. They're cool.
That's a powerful combination. So, big welcome to Aria.
And the rest of the new people.
Yes, yes. Welcome to all the new people that have signed up recently. And we can't wait to hear more from you.
And there's a lot of stuff that goes on. So if you are listening and you hear a new person that stands out to you, point them out to us. Send us a PM. Let us, point them out to us because we don't want to miss anyone. That's kind of what started this, was the idea that there are a lot of new people that, just don't get seen because of all the rest of the fantastic stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is that so many people are so good at this
mm-hmm.
that the new people, they kind of feel like it's a hard thing to break into and get noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And they all did
wonderfully.
Yeah,
I mean,
all of them, veterans and newbies alike. I encourage you, if you are a new person listening to this, to look up Castiaris's Guide to Getting Noticed on GWA. He mm-hmm. has some amazing, amazing tips in there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put a link to that in the comments or notes or whatever.
And don't be shy if you post something, especially if you're a newer person.
Yeah.
If you post something, don't be shy. Let us know.
Hey, can you talk about mine? Take a listen to mine.
And we will be quite happy to do so. We do get busy. There's a lot of stuff that comes across.
At the very least, you can count on a comment from one or both of us.
Yeah.
And an upvote. Because I don't understand downvoting.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why it was disallowed.
Was it disallowed?
Yeah. Says so right there on the side.
Oh, okay. Well, I believe that if you put yourself out there and try, you get an upvote. Because yay, well, you.
There's more to it than that. It basically boils down for me, if you don't like it, I'm sure there's somebody that does.
Exactly.
Move on to what you like. Mm-hmm. It's kind of...
Now, when I looked up my favorite kind of misery, I just upvoted everybody. Tark's script offer and everything. Yeah, they deserved it. It was a beautiful poem. And bravo, Tarkus Trooper, for writing this thing.
It was awesome.
Yeah, welcome all the newbies. And if you haven't checked out all of these new people, check them out. Because we want them to stay around.
We do.
They are what keeps the community fresh. Okay, so that's it. We're out of here. Thank you for listening.
Have fun. Enjoy.